Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon. We thank God that we're here another day bringing you this broadcast. And we thank God for the opportunity, the subject that we have been dealing with. We'll give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. We're thankful to be here. And we're going to try to take our time today. Last week we started off with the subject entitled The Godhead. So we've already established the fact of there being one God as we started off. Even back to the beginning, as it was revealed unto Moses, in the beginning, God. So there's many other scriptures that we could use also, but some of you all got to catch up with us, but we don't want to leave nobody behind, so we're just going to try to do a little recap of what we have done on last week. We realize that God's word cannot be exhausted. So we would just like to bring in a little more truth. We thank God for the truth. Like Jesus said to His disciples, ye are My disciples indeed. If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. St. John 8:32. So we are establishing the fact about the Godhead. Many don't know. About the Godhead, and to simply put it, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. To put it simple, Jesus was a prophet. He's the priest now that ever liveth to make intercession, and He shall be the King. In 1 Timothy 6:15, which is His times, He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. We want to go back letting you know that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we established the fact that there is one God, and that's what the Lord always wanted people to know, that He's one. And so back in the Old Testament, in the beginning, God. So we know it was revealed unto Moses. In the beginning, God. But anyway, in Psalm 90 and verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So we know that God had no beginning and He has no ending. Right. He's an omnipresent spirit. He's an omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere in every place. He is omniscient. He's all-knowing, He's omnipotent, and He has all power.
Amen.
So we thank God for that. And so we establish the fact, we know about the revelation of the Lord. He revealed it unto Moses. He revealed it unto the children of Israel. He gave unto them the oracles of God. And it was so important that He said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So, and He was revealed out of the prophets, out of the Psalms, and out of the law of Moses. We can see the revelation of God. So we want to move forward a little bit. Some of the scriptures that we had that we used on last week that we gave you out of the book of Isaiah, when the Lord says, before Me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after Me. I, even I, am the Lord. Besides Me, there is no Savior. Isaiah 43:10. 44:6, I'm the first and the last, and beside Me there is no God. Is there a God beside Me? Question. Yea, There is no God. I know not any. Isaiah 44:8. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Isaiah 44:24. So Isaiah 45:6, there is none beside me. I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior, there is no God beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Isaiah 46:9, remember the former things of old. I am God, there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. So we can see the fact that there is one God in the Old Testament. There are many other scriptures to establish the fact there is but one God. And I also made mention on last week, maybe for those of you that didn't hear and those of you that did, you can search it out for yourself. But after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah no more in the Bible. So what we're going to do on this week, we're going to move forward. We're going to try to deal with the sonship a little bit. We're going to try to deal with the one God in the New Testament. So good scripture to start off with will be a very good one. And we did make mention of it on last week. That is Hebrews, the first chapter. The first word says God, comma, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, we have by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And I believe Minister Clifton kind of dealt with this a little bit on last week. He was the express image of his person. Just fast forward a little bit. We know, we read on in the book of Hebrews, the Bible said that every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And goes on talking about the man that the house had more glory, the man had more glory than the house had. Amen. Here in the scriptures. So this is what we want to try to deal with on today. So we want to probably, we're going to be jumping back and forth a little bit, but we're going to be moving on today.
Amen. So again, we are establishing, and we don't want to confuse you all. There is another teaching out there, the teaching of the Trinity, that states that they also believe in one God. The difference being between us and the Trinitarians is that they will separate the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit into three distinct and separate persons. And they will also state that although they are separate, they are co-equal in power. So again, we are here, if you will, to unload on that teaching because we want you all to have truth. And another scripture that we mentioned last week can be found in the book of Colossians, second chapter, verses 8 and 9. And that reads as follows. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So we know that there's only one person in the Godhead. There is no triune or Godhead or no teaching of a three persons in the Godhead that is contrary and against what the scriptures teach. And as Ford mentioned by Elder Cannon, he read Hebrews chapter 1. And again, we see in Hebrews 1 and 3 that it says that who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, singular, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he has sat by himself, purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So again, we see that there is only one person. And on today, we want to primarily talk about the office, if you will, of the sonship. So one thing that I may want to establish is in dealing with the sonship and the office of the sonship, I believe a good place to start with that would be the 110th Psalm. And the reason that I like to start there is it, again, shows that the teaching of the Trinity is false, because the Trinitarians will teach you and they will say that the sonship, the office of the sonship, or the work of the sonship is eternal, which means that they believe that it has always existed and always will exist. That, again, is contrary to what the scriptures teach. So the 110th Psalm, it says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies my footstool." And just briefly, what I want to establish is the fact that the sonship did have a time when it started. And we all know that that is, of course, when Jesus was born. And that sonship or that office or that work will end in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. So it is not that God had a start and an end, as forementioned by Elder Cannon, but God operating in the office of the Redeemer, the body of God, Jesus Christ, that does have a start and an end date.
Yes. Go ahead. Okay, what I want to also, I want to remind you of our guest call-in number. That's 1-646-716-6566. Again, you want to call 1-646-716-6566. Okay, just moving on here in the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, the 8th verse. "But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A sceptre of thy righteousness is the sceptre of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, had anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment. As a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years fail not." And it goes on, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool?" So we know the angels are ministering spirits, as he goes on here. So we're going on here, he's talking, the subject here is talking about the Son of Man. And so he goes on, verse 7 in the second chapter, "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, didst set him over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. When that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." So we can see this is the testimony of the Lord here himself. So we can see he took, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who, through fear of death, who were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." Mm-hmm. Talking about Jesus. "Wherefore in all things it behoove him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Or that word succor means help them that are tempted. So we can see here that it was Jesus. So the Hebrew writer goes on, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath built the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God." So we see on here, verse 6, "But Christ has a son over his house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence of rejoicing of hope, of the hope firm unto the end." So we can see that he is as a son over his house. We know Christ is the Christos, or the anointed flesh of God. So So he did take on the body of flesh. We know in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So we know the Son of God came from the woman. But the Father, the Holy Ghost, said, Luke 1:35, says, therefore the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God, the prophecy unto Mary. So we know that the Son of God came from the woman, the seed of the woman. But the Father himself is the one who overshadowed Mary and said that. And so there's the operative word, that holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God.
Amen. And understanding when God does things, when God creates things, he always speaks to it to give it identity and to give it purpose. So I don't want us to be confused when we read the scripture in Hebrews 1, I do believe that's 1 and 8, when it reads, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And in the 110th Psalm, when it says, the Lord said unto my Lord, don't be confused. There is not two gods, and there is not two lords. As stated in the book of Ephesians 4, there is one body, there is one spirit, there is but one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. So again, the reason that it says, but unto the Son, he said, and you have to pay attention because he says, thy throne.
Yes.
And we know there's only one throne.
Yes. Right.
So we're not confused, but we want to give you understanding that the reason that he said that is to give the office of the sonship, which was created, purpose. And I've heard people say, well, God does not speak to himself. That, again, it's not true. We can find in several different scriptures where God did speak to himself.
Yeah.
Isaiah 45:23, and also I do believe it's Jeremiah 22:5, it speaks of God, when he had no one to swear by, he swore by himself. That means he took an oath by himself.
Yeah,
man.
I think we got a caller. Yeah, go ahead, caller.
Oh,
go
God
ahead,
bless
caller.
You. I was just listening. God bless you.
Oh, okay. Did you have anything to say?
No, I mean, I'm in agreement with everything that you're saying, and I hope everybody else is in agreement as well.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. God bless you. Bless you. Yes. Yes. So we can see here this book of Hebrews, like I forestated, it starts off. It's amazing. The first word and the first verse, God, comma. So we can see that how God spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. He has, in these last days, the Bible says, spoken unto us by his Son.
Mm-hmm.
So the sonship is an office in which God is speaking. But people don't understand. I mean, they say that there are gospel preachers and preachers of the gospel. Nowadays, you got all these folks coming out, supposed to be, they got their own ministry and whatever, but the focus in the New Testament is talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God, the gospel of the grace of God. We like the Apostle Paul says in the 20th chapter of Acts, he says, take heed, you know, about preaching the God, the over which the Holy Ghost has made you seers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood.
Amen.
So we can see. And then you go back in the Old Testament, that's another thing I wanted to kind of deal with, that the scripture always called God, in some instances, the Holy One.
Yes.
Like we've been trying to establish, like we done on last weekend, like we'll try to go ahead even further, that he's the Holy One. Then also, we have scripture in the New Testament to substantiate what we're saying about God being the Holy One. So there's not two. Well, there's not three, but there is one. And I believe it's 1 John 2:20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. So we see right there, he is the Holy One. And there's other scriptures. He is called the Just One.
Amen.
Which we know he's just. We know there's one. That's the whole key. And another thing to bring to mind, in the ninth chapter of Acts of the Apostles, and we know that We're going to get into that at in later weeks to come. But the Apostle Paul, who was the apostle unto the Gentiles, God got his attention when he was persecuting the church of God and binding all that were calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. And so as he was on the road to Damascus, the Lord said to him, Apostle Paul said, "Who art thou, Jehovah?" And Jehovah said, "I am Jesus." Said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He literally was saying, "Who art thou, Jehovah?"
Amen.
And Jehovah said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And he said, "It's hard to kick against the pricks." Now, a prick is something that they drive cattle with. It's a sharp object. You kick back against that, you're hurting yourself. So he's letting them know it's hard to kick against the pricks. So Apostle Paul knew that there was one God. But he thought he was doing God. Even the 16th chapter of St. John, one of the things that Jesus had told the disciples who were with him, and Apostle Paul wasn't with him then, he said, "It's going to come to pass that he that persecuted you will think that he doeth God's service." And Apostle Paul thought he was doing God's service when he was binding and persecuting the people of God. But God got his attention. So that he said all the things that he know, he count them all dung, but garbage, that he may win Christ.
Yes, praise the Lord, everyone. There's a couple of scriptures I would like to call.
Yes, and also I would like to say, I want to make sure my co-hosts on today are the same ones that were last week. That is Minister David Clifton and also Minister Robert Walker. Walker.
Yes, God bless you all. Again, I'd like to go back to a couple of scriptures that we had called on last week. One of them is found in the Gospel according to St. John. Some of my favorite scriptures, it says, St. John chapter number 1, verses number 10 through 14. It says, "He was in the world."
Mm-hmm.
"And the world was made by him." The world was made by Jesus Christ,
yes,
brothers.
Yes.
"And the world knew him not."
Yes.
It says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name."
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we have to believe on the name of Jesus Christ,
yes,
because Jesus is God, and you're not going to become, or you cannot become a son of God unless you believe on or believe on that name.
Yes.
Is that right, brothers?
Amen. Yes.
It goes on and says that, "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the world was, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth."
Amen.
And then I like another scripture that I love so dearly, and that is in the Gospel of St. John, chapter number 4, verse number 24. It says, "God is a spirit."
Yes.
"And they that worship him must worship him in spirit,"
mm-hmm,
"and in truth."
Yes.
So you cannot worship God. There's a lot of people saying we're worshiping God, but you cannot worship God and not have truth.
Yes.
The only way you can worship God the way that God wants to be worshipped is to worship him in truth. And the Trinitarian doctrine, brothers and sisters, is not true.
That's right.
And we're here to establish that very fact. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. And also, as we want to, like I said, we're hopping around here, but we do have scripture to back up everything that we're saying. So we see here, we got a couple of scriptures in the book of Isaiah 7 and 14 talking about a virgin shall conceive and shall be with child, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then also the fulfillment of that, Matthew 1, 22 and 23 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and Joshua shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins."
Mm-hmm.
So we know he's God. No man can speak like he did. So also Isaiah 9 and 6, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God,
the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So we know part of that scripture has not been fulfilled yet. We know the part that a child is born, 33 years later, a son was given. The government is going to be upon his shoulder, and his name is going to be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. We know that's going to be when the 1,000 years of peace come. How they say that one Christmas song, peace on earth and goodwill toward men, not going to be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes.
Amen.
It's not time for that yet. We know that's during the millennial when there's going to be peace, when the devil's going to be in the bottomless pit falling for 1,000 years. So there's so much here to go with this to establish the fact about the oneness of God. And so we can see here, just like we were trying to say, we have scripture in the book of Micah that Jesus is Messiah. But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been of old from everlasting. So we can see here that we've got scripture to, and also there's a scripture in the book of Zechariah, the 14th chapter, the scripture that I made mention of last week about God is one and his name is one. So this is the thing that people don't understand, that the Jews, a real Jew, does know that there's one God. They just had a problem with Jesus being the Messiah. Because they knew that he said, if you believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sin. Also, St. John 8 and 58, where Jesus said, I, before Abraham was, I am. We're talking about those I ams last week. I will be what I will be, where I'll be, when I'll be, that they couldn't really translate it that. So many things that he would be. But he said in St. John 8 and 58, when they were saying, you're not even 50 years old. How are you going to be before Abraham? He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, before Abraham was, not I was, but I am.
Mm-hmm.
So God that quickeneth the dead, he's the only one that can call those things that be not as though they were. So people got to believe. So Bible say, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, in the book of Hebrews, that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek to him.
Amen.
And see, also, there's a scripture in the book of James, the second chapter, and the 19th verse. He says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well.
Yes.
The devils also believe and tremble.
Yes.
The point is people say, the devils don't believe God, that God is a just God and all that. The devil is a liar, and all his demons are too. But one thing the devil does know, that there is one God.
That's right.
So we can see that when you open up in the book of Matthew, in the book of Mark, in the book of Luke, when people would meet Jesus, folks that were demonically possessed, and they would say, we know thee who thou art, Holy One of God. Jesus would reply to them, hold your peace and come out of him. He didn't have to say in the name of Jesus because he was the name.
Amen.
So they knew who he was. They said, we know thee who thou art. You're the Holy One of God. Are you come to torment us before the time?
That's right.
So they knew who he was.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. So go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller.
Amen.
Oh, they hung up.
Yeah, we missed. If I could go on and again establish that the sonship, again, it has a beginning, it has an end, it has a purpose. And a couple of things that Jesus came to do in the office of the sonship was to preach the gospel. Amen. We know that he preached the gospel. We all can reaccount in the gospels, the Beatitudes. We also know that Jesus came to redeem mankind. Again, and in sonship, that was one of his things that he had to do. Another thing that he had to do is he came to reveal God through himself. So
yes,
he came to reveal the Father. We understand that not as a separate person, but he came to reveal the Spirit, if you will, through his flesh, through his works, through the things that he did. Two other things that Jesus came to do, which has not yet been accomplished, is to judge the quick and the dead, and to also defeat death. So, again, one of the things that I want to point out is no one will go against the fact that Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Christ, is Savior.
Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller.
What does Isaiah 53 mean?
Isaiah 53 is talking about the arm of the Lord. It's actually talking about Jesus. When it says that he shall grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground, we should see him. There shall no beauty we desire. Said he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastised for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. It's actually talking about Jesus. It's a revelation of talking about Jesus in the body of flesh, what he was going to go through.
So do the Muslims believe that Jesus is God?
They don't. From what I understand, they don't believe that he was the Messiah. So you got to believe that he was the Messiah. He was the incarnate Christ. He was God in flesh. You got to believe that he was the Savior. Doesn't matter what you want to call yourself. Like Jesus told them, you believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins. He was the one that Moses wrote about that should come. He was the one that came to give his life a ransom for many. He was the one that the writer in the 40th Psalm says that a sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest, but a body thou hast prepared me. He was the one that came to be the sin offering for the sin of the whole world.
How can the Catholics pray to Mary and not Jesus?
Pardon?
How can the Catholics pray to Mary and not Jesus?
Well, you shouldn't pray to her. Mary done her job. Mary was in up in an upper room when Jesus told the disciples to go back to the city of Jerusalem and wait until they be endued with power from on high. Mary, the Bible said, Mary, the mother of Jesus, also was with the women there the day of Pentecost. So you shouldn't pray to Mary. Ain't no Hail Mary full of grace. She brought forth the Christ child. She had to get saved just like everybody else.
Amen.
Even Jesus said, what have I to do with you, woman? I got to be about my Father's business.
And if I could add on to that, the book of Hebrews tells us and states that there's only one mediator between God and man,
right.
And that is the man Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So it doesn't say anything about there about praying to Mary or to praying to any other statues or saints or so-called saints. That is idolatry when you are worshiping those statues and those monuments that they pray to. And also, if I could add on to what Elder Cannon said about Isaiah 53, in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, when Philip was talking with the Ethiopian eunuch, the Bible says that eunuch was reading scriptures. We have to understand that the New Testament scriptures did not exist then. So that eunuch was actually reading, and the Bible says that he was reading out of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah.
Yes, yes, sir.
And Philip preached to him Jesus. So again, we have to see that Jesus can be found in every single book of the Bible, and we cannot get confused when the Bible says the right hand or the right arm, because the first verse in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah says, who hath believed our report, and whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So that is the power, if you will. That is talking about Jesus Christ, and that is how Philip was able to preach Christ to that Ethiopian eunuch. And we know after that message that he spoke to that eunuch, that man did get baptized in Jesus' name, in the name, not the titles, and he went on to be saved. So we do understand that through right division of the word. You can find Jesus in any of the scriptures. We do not agree with the teaching of Muslims who say that Jesus was just merely a man.
Right.
There's things that he did that no one but God could do. The book of Job, I do believe it's 9 and 8, says that God is the only one that can tread on the way.
Yes.
We know in the Gospels that Jesus Christ himself walked on the water. So again, a lot of the things that Jesus did was to reveal who he was.
Yes, yes. And just like Minister Clifton said, that's what you always got to remember. You got to always go back to there is one spirit. There's one body and one spirit. Either is your call and one hope of your calling. And there is only one God. So the Bible said here in the book of First Timothy, the second chapter, He's talking about God, the will of God, in the fourth verse, who will have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Very next verse, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So that's the office of sonship.
Amen.
So he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So the only way that he could take on a body, God is the spirit. He had to become a man to take on a body. He actually came and tabernacled among men. So that's why the writer said, which being interpreted is God with us, or with us God, whatever way you want to put it. So it doesn't matter, and I know the caller is gone, but you're still listening, about what banner we want to call ourselves. The thing of it is, we must receive salvation, and salvation is in the name of Jesus. So it's through, the Bible said, through his name, whosoever believeth shall receive remission of sin. So that's why God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. To begot means to become the father of.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all through Jesus. God's not handing over nothing to nobody, but it's him. He is the one that was in him. Just like our scripture that we start off reading. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we do have the witness, John the Baptist, as you hear him in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, crying out, the voice that crieth in the wilderness, make straight and a desert, a highway for our God. And he goes on to say, every valley shall be exalted. Every crooked place shall be made straight. The rough place is plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. So that's the prophecy of John the Baptist. But John says in St. John, he says he was not that light, but he was sent bare to witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. And John the Baptist was saying, but he was in the world. The subject changes back to Jesus. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So that's one of the greatest mysteries of all time. 2 Corinthians 5:19, Apostle Paul was writing in his second letter to the Corinthian church. He said, to wit, that God was in Christ,
yes,
reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, but he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So he has made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he was made sin for us, that body. The Bible in the book of Galatians says, that cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So he was made a curse for us. And I see we have another caller here. Go ahead, caller. You're on, caller. Go ahead, caller.
Are you speaking to me?
Yeah, I see we have another caller, yes.
Oh, I was just listening.
Okay. There's two callers on air now. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Yes. It sounds like the same one.
Let me add brother, to this conversation. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4.
Mm-hmm.
Something needs to be brought out. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, starting in verse number 3. I'm going to read 3, 4, 5. And 6, it says, but if our gospel be hid,
yes,
it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not.
Yes.
Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God,
mm-hmm,
should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake.
Yes.
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of
Jesus Christ. Yes.
Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, the revelation of the understanding of this is to those that are not lost. Is that right?
Yes.
And we need to get some understanding of this.
Yes.
If we're going to be saved.
Yes. So then the Lord doesn't want anyone
to be lost.
But the whole point is the revelation of Jesus Christ, that it was a virgin birth, like the brother who called in talking about Mary and people praying to Mary. Well, you don't pray to no woman. Ain't no Hail Mary full of grace. That's the foolishness. You use that stuff in football and all that. Ain't no Hail Mary. You need Jesus to help you.
But again,
Mary cannot save you from your sins.
But again, the writer is saying, for we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ.
Yes.
They wasn't preaching Mary.
Yeah. Right.
They wasn't preaching about themselves.
Right. But
they
were
preaching about one person.
Yeah.
They were preaching about Jesus Christ.
Right. But you don't. But the point being is that you don't pray to Mary. We have access. The Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. That middle wall of partition was torn down, so we have access that we can come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help a time of need. We also can just go back. Jesus during his earthly ministry and. Matthew 11 and 28, when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Not come unto us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Brothers and sisters and ladies and gentlemen, that is a universal call of the Lord, Jesus Christ, when he said, come unto me. So we can see who he is and the way that he speaks. If Jesus wasn't God, he would have got struck down.
That's right.
For taking all the credit and glory that he did.
That's right. And if I could, I guess we cannot have any type of conversations or teaching on the oneness of God without making mention of this scripture. I do believe it's part of our closing, but if I could, 1 Timothy 3 and 16, and I'm going to expound on that just a little bit. It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness.
Yes.
Then it goes on to say that God
yes.
was manifest in the flesh,
yes.
justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now, if we are going to believe in the Trinity, let's for a moment say that we're going to believe on three separate persons in the Trinity.
Yes.
I don't remember anywhere where three people manifested themselves in the flesh. I just remember God manifesting himself in the flesh
yes.
By one person, and that would be Jesus Christ, amen?
Yes, amen.
Three spirits, as I read in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, the Bible says that there is only one spirit. So there were not three justified, if you will, in the spirit. Seen of angels, the angels only saw and worshiped one. In the book of Hebrews, when the sonship was created because the fullness of God was in him, the angels were commanded to go and worship Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes.
Now, if the Bible says God is a spirit and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth,
yes.
and we understand we should only be worshiping one, we're going to have a problem with the scriptures telling us to worship two, or we're going to have to understand that we're not worshiping two. We are indeed worshiping one.
That's one.
We have to understand when the Bible is speaking of Jesus, the man, and Jesus as God, because he was fully man and fully God.
Yeah.
And we spoke on that a little bit last week. We know the story of the woman at the well when Jesus went up to her and he asked her for water. As a man, he needed water. As a man, he needed sleep. When his disciples cried out to him when they thought they were going to perish in the ship, it says Jesus was sleeping. As a man, he needed sleep.
Yes.
But when the disciples called out to him because they thought they were going to perish, immediately he changed his office from being man to being God.
Yes.
And rebuked the waves.
Yes. Yes.
So we have to get an understanding when we're dealing with the sonship, when Jesus is operating as merely a man or the Son of Man, and when he is operating as the Son of God, or
yes.
God in the flesh.
Yes,
amen.
Or either he's operating as God on his Father's side, or as the Son of Man on his Mother's side.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And then
amen.
Here also in Jeremiah 10 and 10 says, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and all the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. But here's the scripture I would like to read, and it's in the Old Testament also. And this scripture here, this just emphatically proves who the Lord is. And I will pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Now notice what he said. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. So also, there's a scripture that says about Jesus getting these wounds in his hands and his side. Said, when did you get those? And he's going to reply, I was wounded in the house of my friends. So we can see in the mind of God that the Bible said that he'd done all things by Jesus Christ. We got to look at the foreknowledge of God.
Amen.
Like the writer was saying in Hebrews, when he was saying the will of God to have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. When he went on to say there was one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So the man Christ Jesus had to come into being. He had to come to be the good shepherd. He had to come to be the lamb.
Yes.
He showed people who he was. He didn't just go around feeding people, giving people wonderful words and all that, but he fed the 5,000. He fed the 7,000 men besides the women and the children. He didn't let them just faint in the way, but he showed who he was. He stopped funeral processions and raised the dead. He'd done many things, and we can also see that he actually fulfilled the prophecy of Job 19 and 25, I believe it was, when Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
He said, at the latter day, he will stand upon the earth. He said, though these skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He said, I shall see him for myself, and my eyes shall behold him, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. What he was saying was that my Redeemer is going to stand on the earth at the latter days. We can see in the 11th chapter of St. John who the Redeemer actually was. When Jesus let Lazarus die, he stayed where he was. He could have came.
Amen.
And Mary and Martha came to him, and Martha, I believe, said, "You had Lord, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I believe whatever you asked of God, God will give it you." And he said, I not unto thee, thou wouldest believest, thou shouldest see the glory of God? No man can speak like that. So he goes on here, I'm glad that I was not there. He let them know plainly in the 15th verse of the 11th chapter of St. John, the 14th verse, Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead.
Mm-hmm.
They thought he took a nap. You know, out of our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. And then he went on to let him know, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you might believe. Nevertheless, let us go on to him. So we go on here, Jesus in the 23rd verse, the 21st verse of St. John 11. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou will ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So no man can speak to that but the Lord himself. So we go on here in the 34th verse. Jesus asked the question, where have you laid him? He knew where he was. The 25th verse, one of the shortest verses, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Mm-hmm. I got a revelation on this. Wasn't just no tears falling down his eyes, but the man actually boo-hooed, as we would say. He was tore up. We see here, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. He wept. He was tore up. He was weeping. And some of them
could not this man which have opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? So we go on here, the 39th verse, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believest, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Now I knew that thou hast heard me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, he was in the will of God, because he is God. Amen. So he goes on, he said, when he had said, thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth.
Amen.
He that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes and his face bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. So the point being, nobody could get up from the dead and still be wrapped all up in grave clothes and everything. And somebody said, if Jesus hadn't have called Lazarus by his name, everybody would have got up. That's what he's going to do again. He's going to call. The Bible said the dead in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. So this is proof of who he said that he was. He is the resurrection and the life. Now, we know that Lazarus had to go back and die again.
Amen.
But Jesus, in the book of Revelation, he said, I'm the he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death. So if he's Alpha and he's Omega, he's the first and the last. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the bishop of our souls. He is the apostle of our profession. He's the captain of our salvation. He is our bridge. He's the bishop of our souls. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. He bought again, amen, from the dead, you know, the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's the one that's going to establish and strengthen us and settle us. So if he's the one that can do that, that's the one I want to believe on. I'm not praying to Mary. Thank God for Mary. Like I said, and I said, it doesn't matter who don't like it. Ain't no Hail Mary full of grace. Mary done her job, and Mary had to go up in an upper room in the book of Acts, and you will see that she was up there with the rest of the disciples. She received the power from on high like the rest of the disciples. That's no disrespect, but God is God. Amen. And she was the virgin. The Bible said, therefore a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that the virgin birth, Mary took, said, the angel told Joseph to fear not to take unto thee, Mary thy wife, but that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible went on to say that he knew her not, shall she brought forth her firstborn son. So Joseph was quite a man. Amen. He married his wife. He didn't know his wife until after she brought forth her firstborn son.
That's right.
He's a real man. Amen.
Amen.
So the virgin birth, that's the only importance that it had in it. Mary, ain't no Hail Mary full of grace. Mary can't save nobody. Mary had to get the ghost, as somebody said, to get the ghost of God herself. Amen. She had to be born again. So we thank God for that. So we're just trying to give you a few vittles, give you a little bit, amen, about this great God that we're talking about,
amen,
and about
amen.
The oneness of God.
And if I could, I made a statement earlier, and I like to give scripture to show you that I'm not making things up. When I said that the office of the sonship, and understand, Jesus is the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when we say that the sonship is going to end, we're not saying that God is going to stop working. He's just going to stop working in the office of the sonship, as I stated before. In the 15th chapter of Corinthians, and I touched on this last week, 25 to 25th verse, it says, for he must reign, this is speaking of Jesus, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So if we go to the book of Revelations, we can see an end to this when the office of the sonship will indeed come to an end, which will take the teaching of the Trinity that the sonship is eternal, and also put that teaching, if you will, I'll put that under my feet. The 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, it reads as follows. verse number 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then if we skip down to verse number 14, here's the fulfillment of the 110th Psalm. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. After that is established, this is when Jesus has judged the quick and the dead. This is when Jesus, as the Son, has defeated death. The office of the sonship will no longer be needed. There will be no more need of salvation, if you will. The blood of Christ will not be able to be applied to your life at that point. All the revelations of God will not be given through the sonship anymore, because after that, those that have made it, those that obeyed Acts 2:38, or those that made it through the tribulation period, after that point, will be in heaven, and we will learn and see God who he is, how he is, and he himself will begin to revelate us, if you will. Amen. And also, earlier, Elder Cannon spoke on Jesus being the Savior. We know that there is only one Savior. And Isaiah 43 and 11 tells us something. So, again, I like to compare scriptures, because if we compare, we're going to find out that either someone is lying, either God is lying, or Jesus Christ is lying, or we know that they must be the same. Amen?
Yeah.
Isaiah 43 and 11 reads, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior.
Yes.
So we know God cannot lie, and we know that the man Jesus Christ could not lie. So we have to come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ indeed is the same one that uttered that in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. Amen.
Yes, yes. So that's, like I said, that we established the fact that there is one God. We know this is all his work. So, as I made mention to the caller that called in about the 40th chapter of Isaiah, when he was saying that he came in the volume of the book, he said, it's written of me to do thy will, O God. So he had to take on a body to be the sin offering.
Amen.
So because the spirit does not have flesh and blood, even as Jesus said when he rose from the dead, he said, handle me, you know, that is I myself. The spirit have not flesh and bone as you see me have.
Mm-hmm.
So he came in. So he was the first fruits of them that slept. So also going on here, when Minister Clifton had said, then cometh the end, 1 Corinthians 15:24, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And anyway, and when he have all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So the Lord, everything is subject to God. God is himself. He was the one in the book of Revelation that says they couldn't find nobody in heaven or on earth to take the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne. Said, Lord, in the midst of the throne, there stood a lamb. He came and took the book out of the hands of him that sat on the throne.
Amen.
He took it from himself.
And there was only one on that throne. And it says that out of the midst of the throne, amen, came that lamb.
He came and took it.
We understand that language, that he took it. If I take this Bible right here out of this room, I'm going to take it out.
Right.
There's not another person taking it. I'm taking it out myself. We have to understand the language of the scriptures, if you will. Amen.
This is a test.
So again, we're focused on the sonship, if you will. Dealing with the Godhead, it's a very long and deep topic, if you will. We could talk about this from now until the rapture of the church and still not cover everything. I do believe we're going to do a part three. I'm not sure as of yet what we're primarily going to focus on, but today we primarily wanted to focus on the sonship.
What the Bible says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached up to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. We'd like to thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope the word has been a blessing to you. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. Again, I repeat, you can email us at truthministry5525@att.net.
So.